Jonah chapter 2, if you're able to stand, let's stand together. We'll read responsively, and I'll begin reading in verse 1, all the way down to verse 10. The Bible says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep. In the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God.
Amen.
When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord.
Amen.
And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple.
Amen.
They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving.
Amen.
I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Let's pray together. Father, I do ask your help tonight. I need you this evening as I do every time I preach your word.
Amen.
And Father, we all need you even as listeners of the word of God.
Yes.
Please work in our hearts. Use your word, Lord, to move us to action, I pray. And so I ask you tonight for a fresh filling of thy spirit. I pray that you'd lead and direct every thought, every word that comes out of my mouth, that everything would be pleasing to thee.
Amen.
And may we respond to your word, Lord, exactly as you want us to this
Amen.
Evening. And so please give us ears to hear and help us, Lord, that you've brought us to this place with this message for such a time as this. Please again rebuke and bind the devil, I pray.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Jonah chapter 1, we find Jonah coming full circle with God. Now think about that for a moment. The chapter begins with God doing something he does to all of his children. He commands us. Amen.
Amen.
He commands his child to do something. I'd imagine when God asked Jonah to do what he asked him to do, he was probably right with the Lord, wouldn't you think so? At that time, probably in the will of God, when he said to him in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, notice the verse, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But we know the story, you know what happened. Instead of obeying God's clear, simple command, Jonah chooses to exercise his free will. Now, you've never done that, have you? Not. We all have.
Amen.
Instead of doing what God simply says for us to do, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
Amen.
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 He goes the other way. And he rebels against God, and he exercises his self-will. And we know the story. We've been talking about it for some time now, that instead of heading eastward, northeastward really, to Nineveh, Jonah instead chooses to do the complete opposite. He goes to the sea coast port city of Joppa. He boards a ship filled with lost men. He slips below deck, and as the ship launches westward towards Tarshish, a place that is believed to be far west, off the coast of Spain, Jonah's down there in the bottom of the ship, thinking he's done the impossible. You say, what is that? Flee from the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Jonah, knowing full well that he was in rebellion against God, thinks he can do what no man has ever done before.
Amen.
And that is flee from God.
Amen.
So what does God do? Well, he does what he does with all of us. He pursues Jonah. Thank God he does. He pursues his self-willed, rebellious child in an effort to bring Jonah to himself, in an effort to wake Jonah up spiritually, in an effort to help Jonah realize that Nineveh, in the will of God, is far better, is far safer, brings much more peace and joy and blessing and fulfillment than Tarshish or any place, for that matter, out of the will of God. That was a long sentence, but I got through it, and I hope you followed it. And so what God does is he sends a progression of, I'll call them, attention getters.
Amen.
You ever have one of those from God?
Amen.
I'm sure you have. I hope you've recognized it as well. You going your own way, me doing my own thing, and God sends something, someone, some circumstance in our lives to get our attention. It may be someone that's lost saying something to us. It may be another Christian saying something to us. It may be the preacher preaching on that very thing that we're doing wrong.
Amen.
That's God, by the way. And so God sends four different attention getters in verse 4 of chapter 1. He first sends the calamity of the storm. Notice in verse 4 of chapter 1, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea. So here comes this storm, all directed at Jonah to get his attention. What happens to Jonah? He sleeps. He doesn't get it. The boat is reeling back and forth, up and down in the waves. The mariners on the ship are panicking. These were seasoned seamen, if you will. They knew what they were doing. But here this boat was about ready to fall apart. And here's Jonah sleeping. Well, when that didn't work, God sends message number 2, and that is this: the confronting of the shipmaster. Notice in verse 6, the shipmaster comes to him and says, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And so what does Jonah do? He's speechless. Doesn't say anything. And so God sends number 3 in verse 7, and they said every one to his fellow, "Come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So here they are casting lots. They cast a lot, and the lot falls upon Jonah. What does Jonah do? He's silent. He does nothing. God is sending attention getter after attention getter, and Jonah is still not awake. And so God in verse 8 sends the fourth thing, and that is this: the cornering of the sailors. Here they corner him, they surround him and say, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us." And they begin to question Jonah, and from that cornering of the sailors, Jonah's heart is finally shattered. His heart is finally reached, and it was after this fourth chastisement that Jonah's finally broken. And we see that he displays true, heartfelt, godly, God-word repentance.
Amen.
Jonah begins to flow. His heart just pours out, if you will. In verse 9, he says, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Jonah sees his actions as exceedingly sinful, and he takes full responsibility for his wrongdoing.
Amen.
He says to the sailors in verse 12, "For I know that for my sake this tempest is upon you."
Amen.
And Jonah sees himself as deserving of death.
Amen.
As deserving of God's judgment. And Jonah cries out in verse 12, saying to them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea." Jonah has for the moment, I know what chapter 4 is all about, but for the moment, he's dead to self.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
He throws himself on the mercy of God. When Jonah's cast into the sea and disappears from their sight, the sea miraculously and immediately ceases from her raging. And as Jonah sinks beneath the water, expecting death, no doubt, God did something. We read in verse 17 that God prepares a great fish, and he's swallowed up by this fish, and he would spend the next 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's belly.
Amen.
only to be returned to the shore in verse 10, vomited out, the Bible says. Why? So that he could now resume, if you will, fulfilling God's will for his life.
Amen.
Full circle.
Praise the Lord.
Right with God, wrong with God, right with God. So what did Jonah do while he was in the belly of the whale?
Amen.
Well, we read what he did in verse 1. Notice we read, then Jonah prayed.
Amen.
As I said last week, the great miracle here was not what happened in the belly of the fish. The great miracle we see here is what happened in the heart of Jonah. And what happened in the heart of Jonah was evident, but by what he did while he was in the whale of the belly, he was praying to God.
Praise the Lord.
And as we look at this prayer this evening, we find a Jonah speaking here the words of a changed man.
Amen.
The words of a man who now his heart is overflowing with God. He wanted to speak of the goodness of God. That's what he wanted. He was overflowing.
Praise the Lord.
And so tonight I want to preach on this subject. Jonah's prayer. That's a tricky one, isn't it? Jonah's prayer, or perhaps we could say, the words of a changed man.
Amen.
Can I ask you something? What do your words display about your heart?
That's good.
Because really what comes out of our mouth displays what's going on in our heart. You say, well, not me. Yes, you. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Watch this. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Oh, I didn't mean that. Yes, you did. A better thing to say is, I'm sorry for saying that. That was wrong. Because out of our mouth, the words that come out express what is going on in our hearts. The things that you and I say are a reflection of that. And by the way that you and I pray is a reflection
Amen.
Of what's going on in our hearts as well.
Amen.
So I ask us this evening, how's your heart? Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, tonight as we look at Jonah's prayer, it's really a prayer of praise. Do you know that the Bible calls it a prayer, then Jonah prayed, but the truth of the matter is, he doesn't ask God for one thing.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
That's amazing. You know, and I look, that is convicting to me.
Amen.
Because most of the time I'll come to God with my list of what I want from God. Oh, don't look at me like that. You do the same thing.
Amen.
Lord, bless this person. Give this person. Fix this. Do this. Do this. I mean, it's almost as if I'm tinkling the bell to get the waiter to come. Please do this. Do this. Do this. Do this. Now, we should ask God for things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not minimizing that. But what about praising God for what he's done? What about our heart just wanting to be with God and overflowing with God? That's what we see that's happening here in Jonah's heart.
Amen.
So tonight I want us to see three things we find Jonah doing in this text. Number one is this. We see the first thing, Jonah praises God for his deliverance. Do you know that a heart that is right with God will praise God for his deliverance? Notice we read in verse 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep. In the midst of the seas and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple.
Amen.
The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Notice this. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God, thank you for delivering me.
Glory to God. Amen.
You know, these words evidently were written at a later time from the way it's written as Jonah reflects back on what had happened to him. And I want us to consider two things about Jonah's deliverance as we read these verses. Number one is this, the possibilities of Jonah's deliverance. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let me ask you this. Now, this is the part I'm going to get you to think a little bit. Got me to think as I was reading about this. What exactly happened to Jonah? Do we know? Well, really, chapter 2 really gives us some detail. What happened to Jonah after he was thrown overboard? You say, well, he was swallowed by the whale. Well, let's see if that's true. Do you know that there are actually two different views that Bible commentators give as to what exactly happened to Jonah? I read both of them, and I'm gonna give them to you and let you decide. So don't corner me at the handshake thing and start questioning me about this thing. Instead, you take your time and you read this very, very meditatively how it's written. But I want to show you the first view is this. View number one. Some say that Jonah is speaking here in this chapter, watch this, of two different prayers in two different places at two different times. Got quiet. I thought it would. Notice verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. So one prayer is out of the fish's belly. And then he talks about an earlier prayer as he's praying there that he prayed in verse 2 and said, I cry. Now watch this. He's praying this out of the fish's belly, talking about something that happened earlier. I cried by reason of mine affliction of the Lord, and he heard me. Watch this. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. There's another prayer. Some say that one prayer was prayed out of the fish's belly, and then an earlier prayer was out of the belly of hell. Or the Hebrew word, Sheol. Now, before you get too excited, let me explain. This view says that verses 3 through 6 describe Jonah experiencing a literal death by drowning. Now watch this. Notice the wording. Let's just read it. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. The floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. That's interesting.
Amen.
This view states that Jonah literally drowned, that he died. And that Jonah's soul went to Abraham's bosom, or paradise, or the Hebrew word Sheol, the abode of the dead, which is the Hebrew word for hell here in verse 2, which is located in the center of the earth, and his body was then swallowed up by the whale. Interesting, isn't it? Then after 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah's body, which was in the fish, was resurrected. Now, if you read it the way it reads, it sounds like that's a possibility. So he prayed while he was in Sheol, the abode of the dead, verse 2, and then he prayed again later from the belly of the whale.
Amen.
What do you think of that one? Remember that before the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, we know from Luke chapter 16 that Sheol was the abode of both the saved and the lost, located in the center of the earth. It was separated by that great gulf. On one side was hell, on the other side was paradise, or Abraham's bosom. We know that from Luke chapter 16 in verse 23 through 26. It talks about, and beside this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence.
Amen.
But there are times in the Bible that the Bible uses the word hell to refer to the abode of the dead, referring to both sides of Sheol. Amen. You say, when is that? Do you remember when Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2 and verse 27, and he was speaking of Christ's resurrection as he was quoting Psalm chapter 16 and verse 10, and he reads about Jesus Christ, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. We know that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, we know that he ascended into Abraham's bosom, Sheol, if you will, Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the hell, above the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. So we know that after Christ died on the cross, he descended into Sheol, he led captivity captive, and he brought them out, if you will, into heaven.
Amen.
You're all looking at me funny. I'm not a heretic. I'm just telling you what's said.
Amen.
And it does kind of make sense.
You,
so this view says this. Here it is, just in a nutshell. Jonah died. His soul went to Abraham's bosom. His body was swallowed by the whale. Jonah prayed while in Abraham's bosom. He was resurrected in the belly of the whale after 3 days. And then he prayed again from the belly of the whale and was vomited out on dry land by the whale.
Amen.
By the way, this view would give us a perfect picture of Christ's death and resurrection 3 days later. But then there's another view. I know what you're saying. I think I'm going to like this one better. Maybe so. This is a more traditional view, and that is this, that Jonah went overboard. He was immediately swallowed by the whale. He lived in that whale for 3 days and three nights, and his experience in the belly of the whale was a figure or a picture or an illustration of death and hell. You say, I like that one better. Maybe you do. But try to fit that in what he said here in Jonah chapter 2. I'm just saying. My point is this, whichever view you prefer to take, and don't, please don't get hung up on that. We know that in verse 6, we read that Jonah was praising God for his deliverance. Notice we read, yet hath thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He was so thankful, knowing he deserved death, he deserved God's judgment, that God delivered him.
Glory to God. Amen.
So we see the possibilities of Jonah's deliverance, but then we see, number two, the picture of Jonah's deliverance. I think you understand where I'm going here. Jonah's deliverance is no doubt a picture of the believer's deliverance.
Amen.
Of the believer, when we get saved, understand what happens. We that deserve a death and hell and an eternity separated from God, we have been delivered from God's judgment. We have been saved from an eternity in hell. We have been forgiven for all of our sins. This is a picture of how God delivered me and you. And boy, was Jonah happy about it. Do you know, a heart that is right with God will be a heart that gives praises to God for his deliverance.
Amen.
Can I ask you something? When was the last time you thanked God for your salvation?
Praise the Lord.
When? I'm talking about verbally. I'm talking about publicly. I'm talking about to someone else. You say, well, I just don't think I have to do that. I got it right in here. Well, try that with your spouse. Honey, I'm not going to tell you I love you, but I got it right in here. It's there. Oh, yeah, I don't think she's gonna get that one. You know what I'm saying? A heart that is full of God, a heart that is right with God, will have absolutely no problem standing up and saying, praise God, I'm saved.
Lord, amen.
You know, the Lord Jesus said this to his disciples, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Can I ask you something? Is that your heart tonight? Do you have praise on your lips for God saving your soul?
Praise the Lord.
You should. Oh, it's so weird. Weird. I'm just going to say the word weird. Does anybody have a testimony of God and what he's done for you? And God's people sit here and just sit there and look like whatever you want to call it, a lump on a log, however you call that thing. A bump on a log. Thank you, Genevieve. She's helping me. That's why she sits up here. You don't know it, but she throws me the words when I have a pause. If you notice, I look down at her. A bump on a log. Isn't that true? And that's, I mean, why don't we have praise? Why can't we say, "Hey, I thank God that I'm saved"? It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You ought to be thankful for it.
Amen.
Oh, God help us. We allow so many things to get into our hearts. The cares of this world, the troubles in our lives, the circumstances that we're dealing with, to cause us to take for granted the most important thing in the world, and that is we're saved. Perhaps our prayer ought to be tonight like King David's in Psalm 51 and verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Amen.
Lord, do something in my heart and I'm happy that I'm saved, because that joy is not there anymore. It should be there if your heart is right with God. Then there's a second thing that we see Jonah doing. Not only do we find Jonah praising God for his deliverance, we also see Jonah proclaiming God's truth to others. You know what's interesting about Jonah's prayer here? If you were to look at it and compare it to the Psalms, you'd find that Jonah's prayer is absolutely filled with Scripture and scriptural truth. For example, in verse 2, he says, "And said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me." This truth is from Psalm 120 in verse 1. "In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me." Again, in Psalm 18 in verse 6, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice."
Praise the Lord.
In verse 3, he says, "All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." And that's a truth from Psalm chapter 42 in verse 7. "All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." In verse 4, he says, "I said, I am cast out of thy sight." Psalm 31, verse 32, "I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes." Verse 5, "The waters compassed me about, even to thy soul." Psalm 61, 9, "The waters are come in unto my soul." In verse 6, "Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption." Psalm 16:10, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." In verse 7, "My prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple." Psalms 18 and verse 6, "He heard my voice out of his temple."
Praise the Lord. Amen.
He's filled with Scripture.
Praise the Lord.
You know why? His heart's right with the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But then in verse 8, he gets to preaching a little bit.
Amen.
He really does. Notice what he says in verse 8. He says, he makes a proclamation here. He says, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy."
Amen.
He's starting to preach right now.
That's right.
And by the way, he's speaking from first-hand knowledge here.
Amen.
My point is this: Jonah learned something. He learned a lesson, and he wants to share that lesson. He wants to proclaim God's truth to others. Commentator John Butler put it this way: Jonah learned about the lying vanities of retribution, reality, and responsibility. He says he learned retribution, that you can't sin and get away with it.
Amen.
He learned reality, that ignoring reality will not change the facts. He learned about responsibility, that you cannot run from responsibilities and still enjoy the privileges of life.
Amen.
You see, Jonah has learned from firsthand experience the principle that whenever a believer puts something before God, he's turning away
Amen.
From God's mercy.
Amen.
And he's trying to warn us. He's trying to warn me and you not to follow the lying vanities. He says, don't do what I did. Don't follow the lying vanities of self-will.
Amen.
By the way, we could add to that are the lying vanities of seeking wealth and seeking popularity or seeking power or seeking position. Jonah now in verse 8 has this burden to get these truths to all of us.
Amen.
He's saying, don't read this and not learn from it.
Amen.
Kind of like King Solomon. I mentioned him this morning in Ecclesiastes. What a lesson it is for all of us about life. Don't follow these vanities. Don't seek wealth and power. Don't push God aside. You will not win. And what you're doing is you are forsaking the mercy of God.
Amen. That's right.
I see Jonah here with a burdened heart trying to get a message across to me and you. Can I say this and make an application here? Do you remember when you had a burden to do that?
Amen.
Do you remember when you used to care, when you had a burden to get the truth to others? You learned some things from the Word of God and you were so right with God and walking with God that you just had to tell others about the Lord?
Amen.
Do you remember when you had a burden for souls?
Amen.
Do you remember that?
Do
you remember when you used to meet someone for the first time and the first thing that popped in your head was this, I wonder if they're saved.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And then you thought, I hope that I get an opportunity somewhere to at least speak something to God or at least to give them a track somewhere. That's what you thought about. Why don't we think of that about that anymore? What happened? You see, a person whose heart is right with the Lord, like Jonah, who's come full circle, has a burden to get the truth of God out to people.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Do you remember when you had a burden for your Sunday school class?
Amen.
When you first got that class and you thought, boy, I have the privilege of teaching kids, and you see these children file in and you say, oh God, these kids don't even know the Word of God. They don't even know what a Bible is. Oh God, do something in their hearts. Oh God, and you visited them or called them and prayed for them. How about now?
Amen.
How about now? How about your bus route? I know about the bus ministry. I was in the bus ministry for years.
Amen.
It's work. It's work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. And it's easy for us to lose our burden.
Right.
Becomes old hat. Right. Where is our burden for reaching families? Where is our burden for our nation? Where is our burden to reach forth and reach souls and churches to be planted? May I ask, what happened?
Right.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot. We're more mature now. That was when we were, you know, babes in Christ. And now we know a little bit more than we knew then. I would never want to trade knowledge for zeal.
Praise the Lord.
I want knowledge and zeal. Amen.
Amen.
Not just knowledge, not just zeal. I want knowledge and zeal.
Amen.
But I don't want to forsake zeal for knowledge.
Amen.
We want them both. Jonah had a passion to proclaim God's word to others. What happened
Praise
to us?
Lord.
How's your heart? And then there's a third thing, and I gave you the word already. Jonah praises God for his deliverance. Jonah proclaims to others God's word. And then thirdly, Jonah is now passionate about doing God's will. It's interesting. Jonah went to the altar. Let me just put it in a metaphoric way. Jonah, in a metaphoric way, went to the altar and said to God, God, I'm going.
Amen.
I'm going, God. I learned my lesson. I'm going back. I'm going to Nineveh. I'm going there. God, give me an opportunity, Lord. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. That's what he says. Look at verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation's of the Lord. God, you got me. I'm going to do your will no matter what it takes.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
That's the heart of a person.
Amen.
That's right with God. Amen. Jonah, for now, is passionate about doing God's will.
Amen.
Nothing humanly is going to stop him from going to Nineveh.
Praise the Lord.
He is determined to obey God.
Hallelujah.
You know, we're lacking in our circles, if you will, in our own hearts, is the I wills of Christianity.
Amen.
Here's what we say. And by the way, I do the same thing. We're so afraid to tell God, I'm going to do that. So we kind of code it like this. Lord, help me to do that. Lord, help me to be a better soul winner. Lord, help me to be faithful. That's the stuff I say myself too. And I think, why am I saying that? Why can't I just go ahead and make a commitment to God and say, God, I will be a better soul winner. God, I will be faithful to church. God, I will start tithing. I will put that away. I will change this, and I will do that.
Amen.
You know why we don't do that? Because our heart isn't there to do it.
Right.
And we know what we're supposed to say. So we code it with, Lord, help me. Help me to pray. What does that mean? Help me to pray. Sometimes I ask God for help, and I don't really need his help. He's given me everything
Amen.
I need to do it.
Amen.
It's just me not willing to say, I will. You see, Jonah's heart was now determined to obey God, and this is a mark of a heart that is right with God.
Praise the Lord.
So I asked you tonight, we're back at the beginning. How's your heart? Has the Christian life become nothing more than an intellectual exercise to us? A mechanical exercise? We come in, we stand, we sit, we sing, we do this, we hear the message, and we just go through all the motions and nothing changes. If that's the case, then we really have to point the finger where it should be pointed, and that is something's wrong with our heart.
Amen.
And if we cannot rejoice because of God's deliverance, if we cannot praise him for that, if we do not have a burden to proclaim God's word, and if we're not passionate about doing God's will, like we see Jonah was here at least, something's wrong with our heart.
Amen.
But the good news is you can change it tonight.
Praise the Lord.
You say, how? Just do what Jonah did.
Amen.
Find your place at the altar and say, Lord,
Amen.
I will do this. I will start giving you the praise for my salvation. I will proclaim. I will visit my bus route more. I will visit my Sunday school kids. I will pray for them. Do the I wills tonight.
Amen.
Let's pray together.